Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Heart, an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Our ministry website is www.newvisionforlife.com, where we align our hearts with the heart of God. Please join our host, Bishop Etta Banks, as we get to the heart of the matter.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Good morning, beloved. Good morning. How is everybody doing today? This is your host, Apostle Etta Banks, pastor of New Vision for Life Church. And we thank God that we are here today to spend another wonderful Sabbath day with you. Beloved, good morning to you. How are you doing today?
Good morning, beloved. I am well. Good morning to our Heart to Heart family.
Amen. 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 There you go. That's all right. That's all right. I was going to tell them anyway. Bless the Lord. It's good to have you back. We missed you last week, so it is very good to have you back with us today.
Amen.
Yes, yes, yes. Well, folks, I want to say good morning to Tamika Shelton. God bless her. Hallelujah. Thank you for all that you have done for me and in my life. I thank God for where he's taking you, leading you, and directing you. To her mother, Joyce, who is our longest follower and fan of Heart to Heart, praise God. And we totally thank God for her. And to Prophetess Dawn, Prophet Crawford and his wife, to Isaiah in Chicago, Isaiah in Pennsylvania, to Prophetess Kim, praise God. God bless her. To, of course, Deacon Thomas Farr, bless the Lord. You remember that he does his radio show, Issues Christian Men Talk. Issues Christian Men Talk. I will do my best to continue to remind you to listen to their show because of the fact that he is dealing with men. And God knows that we need to know what's going on with the men spiritually, as well as things in the natural, the challenges they have, how they overcome them, where they have come from and what God has done in their lives. So I'm a great fan of the show. I encourage you, please, you know, to get the men in your life to listen to that show. So to God be the glory. If there's anyone else I forgot to name, please, you know, don't charge it to my heart. I love you all. I love you all. You know, I just can't remember everybody that comes on. I'm so sorry. But to God be all the glory. To God be all the glory. Beloved, you want to do anything, say anything at this moment?
Yes, just again, I missed the Heart to Heart family last week. It's good to be back on today. You know, whenever I'm not on, I feel something is missing, like I miss something when I'm not on the show. But I know that just like in my absence, that Apostle is holding things up, and when she's not on the line, I'm holding things up. So we have this tag team going on, so it's almost like you know, we got this. We got this. So sometimes, you know, we can't be on the line for whatever reason, but we know that we have each other's backs and that we work out well together. So amen.
Amen. Amen. And I totally, totally agree with that. And that's how she became the co-host of the show, not just a guest host, but became the co-host, because we do work well together. And with that, you know, we are able to help one another, stand in for one another, work together when we're working. So we do praise God for that. We truly do praise God for it. And it has been a blessing for me. So I thank God for her. All righty. We are going to go ahead and open in prayer. While I'm praying, of course, I want you to pray with me, but also why don't you text the listeners number, the very number that you called in on, why don't you text that number to somebody and ask them to join the show today? Be a blessing to someone. Yes, I'm bold enough to say this is a blessing. I know the show has helped many people, and it's to the glory of God that they're being helped. And so don't keep this to yourself. Go ahead, send a text to someone. Don't worry about waking them up. If they're sleeping, they probably won't hear the little ding on their phone. And if they're in that's if they're in a deep sleep. If they're not in a deep sleep, they'll hear it and just may join us. Don't be afraid to go ahead and do that. I guarantee you, somebody who wanted them to ask them a question, blessed be the name of the Lord, this early in the morning, they would. And I kind of snickered when I said that because yesterday somebody called me at 4:35 in the morning to ask me to pray for them. And of course I did. Excuse me. Of course I did. I prayed for them. And when I got through praying, it was interesting because the person, they then started praying. And the prayer that they prayed, I was like, you didn't need me. You prayed. You really prayed. You know, you prayed for yourself. You prayed for others. I didn't say that, of course, but she did. She prayed. And I know there's the prayer of agreement where two or more, where we're touching and agreeing and so forth. But the woman prayed, bless her heart, and I thank God for her. So if she can call me at 4:35 in the morning, you certainly can send a text to somebody at 9:07 in the morning. I said all of that to say that. Don't be afraid of waking someone up. Go ahead and encourage somebody to join us on this show. All right. Heavenly Father, dear God, we thank you. We love you. We honor you. We bless you. We magnify your holy name because you are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You're the great I Am, the Alpha and the Omega, and God, there is no one like you. I thank you so, so very much for this day. I thank you, Lord God, it is the day that you have made, and because of that, Father God, we shall do everything that we can to comply with the word, which tells us to rejoice and be glad in it. I ask, Lord God, for those that are on this line and the people that are connected to each and every one of us, every single need that we have this morning, God, we're bringing them to you as Jehovah Jireh, our provider, that you provide the needs of your people, Lord God. And for those who aren't your people yet because they have not accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that is our first prayer for them, that they come to the realization that they cannot make it in this world without you, Lord God. And therefore, that they would seek salvation. They would seek, Lord God, the benefits of the cross, Lord, that they would seek, they would hunger, they would thirst after you. And in doing so, Lord God, that you would meet that need. For those, oh God, that's already been saved, Father, already accepted Jesus as their Savior, Father, the physical needs, mental needs, emotional needs, financial needs, spiritual needs, Lord, there's so many needs that we have. Again, you being Jehovah Jireh, you make every provision that is needed. So I'm thanking you in advance, Lord God, that no one leaves here, Lord, without getting what they need, that no one leaves here without having new information in which to base decisions on. I pray that the Holy Spirit, Lord God, would convict and convince us, O Lord God, of how great you are. I thank you for the move of the Spirit on this line, Lord God. I thank you that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. I praise your name, Lord God, because you breathe a new breath of life into us for this day, Lord God. I thank you for the opportunity to serve you, to love on you, to love on one another. I praise your holy name. I praise your holy name because you have cared so much for us. And Lord, that our minds are being changed change day by day as we learn your word, as we understand, Father God, why you even created us, our purpose, Lord God, and the assignment that's given unto us. I thank you, Lord God, that you never forget about us. There are times it seems like there's such a spiritual void in our life that truly you can't be there. There's no way you could be with us. But I thank you, Lord God, that you're not a man that you should lie, and you promise never to leave us nor forsake us. So with that being in mind, whether we feel it or not, you are there. You are working on situations that concern us, oh God. I thank you because you are a way maker, Lord God, in the darkness, Lord God. You are a light for us, God. I thank you that you are a promise keeper, Father God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, all of the things that you are, Lord God, Abba, Father, hallelujah, Lord God, I praise you because you are our Father. And for those who had earthly, all of us had earthly fathers, but those that had an earthly father that did them no good, that hurt them, harmed them, rejected them, denied them, Lord God, Father, I pray, Lord God, that a spirit of forgiveness, first of all, would come, Lord God, that they would be released from the bondage of lack of forgiveness, Lord God, released from bitterness and anger, Father God, released from rejection, Lord God. And in this, Lord God, first of all, whether that Father loved them or not, they would receive you as their heavenly Father, Abba, Abba, Father, the one that loves us, the one that created us, oh God, the one that adopted us by the blood, Lord God. Father, I praise your holy name for who you are. Now, dear God, as we go on with our show today, may your will be done here on earth and in these earthly vessels. May it be done to the glory of your name, Father God. May you be exalted in this hour. May you, Lord God, be magnified in this hour, Lord God. May you be longed for and desired by the people on this line in this hour, Father. I thank you, Holy Spirit, for stirring up not only the gifts within us, but stirring up our passion and our desire for righteousness and holiness, and only you can give that to us. Lord, I praise you. I thank you. I honor you. I bless you. In Jesus' awesome, magnificent name, amen and amen. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Thanks to God, I tell you, I love the Lord. I love the Lord. And just because you're on this line, I know that you love him as well. And when the presence of God begins to manifest or does manifest himself, it's just sometimes you almost can't speak. You almost cannot speak. And I just thank the Lord for his presence over here. I thank the Lord for his presence. Nobody can do us like Jesus. Nobody, nobody, nobody can do us like Jesus. So, all righty, let me try to get myself together here. Bless God. Bless God. Amen. Well, listen, darlings, last week we talked about bitterness. We talked about the kingdom of bitterness and how there are seven, how there were seven principalities, pieces of armor that bitterness has with it. So bitterness doesn't come alone, that it had seven spirits that are attached to it, and how by the spirit of progression, we go through each one of these steps, and those spirits are unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is the number one spirit that is attached to the strong man of bitterness. And then there's resentment, retaliation, anger and wrath, hatred, violence, and murder. So those are the seven pieces of armor to keep bitterness in the power that he walks in, in the power that he walks in. And the one at the top of the list is unforgiveness. And in every single demonic spirit that attacks us, the spirit of unforgiveness is there. The spirit of unforgiveness is there. There is not one spirit that we can deal with or that we definitely do deal with that we don't have to forgive someone that was a part of making us feel the way that we feel. And in this, as we look at that, we cannot express more. I don't know how to express it any more than to tell you that unforgiveness is definitely an attribute that we need to learn to deal with quickly in our lives. So let me reverse that and say forgiveness is the one that we need to learn how to extend forgiveness quickly. As we go on through life, as we deal with the attacks, all of the negative things that happen with us, if we extend forgiveness, it allows us to keep moving on and progressing more quickly and successfully in what God has called us to. And Jesus showed us how quickly to forgive when he was on the cross. The things that were being done to him on the cross, the brutality, everything, the torture, everything that happened on the cross. And while it was happening, he says, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." While it was happening, you cannot forgive any quicker than that. You cannot forgive any quicker than that. And so that is an example of how soon we should forgive. And I need all of us to understand that forgiveness is not a feeling. It is a choice. It is a choice. It is a decision that we make, and we go ahead and we do it. It is a decision. It's not a feeling. So don't let what you feel hold you back. Let what you know that is commanded of us to do, let that be the realm in which we operate. And I know it'll take a long time. I'm not, oh, Father, forgive me. I won't put that out there that it's going to take anyone a long time to do it. I know that it is not the easiest thing to do. So I'm not going to put a limitation on you. I don't have that right and or authority to put a limitation on how soon you forgive. I'm just saying Jesus showed us how quickly we should extend forgiveness. And I know certainly that I have not gotten to that place where every single thing that happens to me, I'm able to forgive that quickly. There's some of the things that happen, yes, I'm able to forgive quickly before it's finished. You know, it's done, it's over with, I go on, you know, I'm good. But there's some things, you know, when your spirit is wounded, your heart is broken, you just don't know what to do with yourself. You just don't know what to do with yourself. It could be very, very, very hard to forgive quickly. But the thing that I ask you to do, beloved, do so as quickly as you can. Do so as quickly as you can. Beloved, is there any comment that you would like to make?
Yes, ma'am. Just to piggyback off what you were saying about unforgiveness, it is good to let go of things quickly. And, you know, because we're human, we have to go through so many emotions first before we let go. And although when we come to know, you know, the Lord as our Savior, and we know what's good for us, and we know that we're supposed to forgive, we know all of that. But sometimes things that have happened to us are so deeply rooted that it basically is like layers of trying to let things go. And so a couple of weeks ago, I said I was going to, you know, share the unforgiveness that, you know, I had, that during this fast that we're still doing, some of us in the church, how God was revealing things. And so he revealed that I still had a spirit of unforgiveness towards my father for things that had happened years ago, some indiscretions that he did during his marriage to my mom. And so I held on to, now I was a young adult when they got divorced. And I didn't know that it affected me that bad, because, you know, when you're older, but when you're younger, it's really detrimental to a child. But when you're older, like 19, 20, in that range, you're older now, so it doesn't, so I thought, it didn't really affect me because I was older. And I was kind of happy that my mother was being released from, you know, all that she had to go through, that she endured. So I was kind of happy for her on that end. But, you know, it was these deep things that were still in my heart that instead of letting go, I just buried them. And everything that happened after that, it was like I wouldn't talk about it. I would just bury it. And so it was times where, you know, my father and I would have disagreements, and that would add to it. And I wouldn't love him or show the love towards him. Now I love him, but I would not show the love towards him because there was bitterness there. And I could be like very short with him. And so during this fast, God began to reveal that there were things that I had to deal with because my blessings were being blocked because I was taking my time, you know, to forgive, or I didn't want to forgive. And so because I don't want to be stubborn anymore when it comes to this, I want my relationship to be healed with my dad, because you never, you know, I don't know how much time he has left on this earth. I don't know how much time that I have left on this earth. So it's time to stop allowing stubbornness to stand in the way, and all the other spirits that come with, you know, bitterness, to keep blocking my relationship with my dad and blocking my blessings, holding up stuff that I've been waiting for. And so I'm in the position now to let those things, let it just, you know, let it go and to forgive. So now I, on purpose, reach out to him, and I, on purpose, try to have conversations with him, because it's helping me in my process. And it was even a point where, you know, I would be upset with him because he won't be transparent, you know, to people about the things that he's done. But I, in his, when he's ready, and I can't get mad because he won't tell it when I want him to tell it. And so we just have to be careful with these other spirits that come, you know, with bitterness and unforgiveness and all those things, because they're set up to tear us down. And they're also set up to make us feel like we're the victim, and that we didn't do anything, and that it's the other person's fault. And in some cases, it may be somebody hurt you and you didn't do anything. But then when you don't want to forgive, then it becomes an issue on your end. And a lot of times we forgive with our mouths, but we don't forgive with our hearts. Mm-hmm. And that's what I was doing towards my father, was saying, I forgive you, but it was with my mouth and my heart never connected. And so now I'm in the place where I need my heart to connect with me saying I forgive him. And if I have to daily say it more than one time, and I don't even have to say it to him, but to just put it in the atmosphere, I forgive my father, I forgive my father, I forgive my father, then that's what I have to do. And the other thing is, connect yourself to people that can help you through the process. Don't go to people that are immature in Christ and all that, or, you know, because they're going to steer you the wrong way. you connect to people that are going to give you godly advice, sound advice, that are going to, you know, tell you the right thing to do, how to do it, going to help you do some things. You need to seek deliverance because that is vitally important, to seek deliverance, because that spirit has taken root in your heart. So you need to seek unforgiveness. I mean, I'm sorry, you need to seek deliverance. And, you know, that's what I had to do. And I'm still in the process of deliverance because, again, it happened years ago. I'm in my 40s. This happened when I was 19, 20, something like that. So that is years of stuff in my heart that I had to let go. And I need help with that. I can't do that by myself. So I reach out to people that I trust. I reach out to my pastor. I trust her. I trust that whatever I tell her stays with her. I reached out to the prophetess in our church. I trust that what I tell her stays with her. So you have to find people that you know are going to tell you the right thing, and that whatever you share will stay with them. So, you know, if you don't have that in your life, you have Apostle. You can reach out to her because she's really good in the deliverance category. She can really help you through those things. So this information that we are sharing today, Apostle is sharing today, it is touching me. It's because, you know, I can teach this stuff. I think I've taught on rejection before, but you can and unforgiveness. I think we've touched on it before, and you can teach on these things. Like, I could teach on these things, but when it came to that certain person, my father, I wasn't ready. You know, and people around me could have hurt me. Other people said things, oh, I can forgive. I forgave them. But when it came to my father, for whatever reason, I did not want to forgive him at that time. So now is the time. Now is the season. And now I'm ready. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We can tell that you are. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. You know, one other thing in dealing with, you know, your timing on forgiving, your timing on forgiving and so forth. Oh, I lost my thought. Oh, help me, Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Okay. Yes, sometimes when we deal with forgiving people, and especially when it's like this, a mother and father relationship, you know, you have to forgive your father for the things that he did to your mom. He didn't necessarily do something to you, but he did this to mother. And a lot of times, us not being able to forgive is our sense of loyalty to the person that was wounded, and that person was hurt, and we feel loyalty also to that person, and we feel like if we forgive the person that hurt them, then we have betrayed the person that we were covering. Does that make sense?
Yes, ma'am.
I'm hope. Okay. Yes. You know, we feel that we were disloyal. I remember when I got divorced, and my family, and this is with my first husband, ex-husband. My family loved him. They really liked him. And but we ended up getting a divorce, and he and one of my brothers are very, very close. And my heart broke every time my brother would talk with him, every time my brother would go see him, every time he would go see my brother. And I was like, how could you betray me like this? You are my brother. How could you talk to the man that broke my heart? Thank God that my brother continued his relationship with him right till today, because my ex and I are very good friends, you know, right till to this day. And that was a friendship. They had a brotherhood. You know, he was a brother by law. They had a brotherhood, and he didn't stop that. And I felt that he was cheating on me, his sister. You know, but so forgiveness, you know, I had to forgive my brother. I had to forgive my ex-husband. I had to forgive myself for being so foolish once, you know, I was able to deal with all of that stuff. So for those of you who feel loyal to someone else and someone close to the two of you hurt that other person, please still release them. Release them. And, you know, you can talk to the person that you are protecting and covering and being loyal to, because if they haven't forgiven, they are still in bondage as well. And you don't want them to be in bondage. So that's another avenue in dealing with forgiveness there, another avenue. One of the things that I wanted to touch on was dealing with rejection, because, you know, last week our topic was on the bitterness and those seven principalities that that are the armor pieces for the spirit of bitterness, and how it goes from that unforgiveness all the way down to murder. And each one is stronger than the one before it. And how I think it's by the time we get to the fourth one, then you begin to see the manifestation of the bitterness. You begin to see it. You know, in the first two or three, you know, you can hide the unforgiveness. You know, you can hide that. You can hide whatever else it was that that came with that. You can hide it, but then you get to a place where you no longer can hide what's going on, because now it's manifesting externally. Well, rejection is something that causes bitterness as well. Excuse me. Rejection has a way of destroying a person's life. Some things, like very few things can. Rejection is such a big thing. You know, you can be rejected in the womb, in your mother's womb. You can be rejected. There are people that were birthed who were not wanted. Jesus. They were not wanted. Abortion was spoken about. I hope I have a miscarriage. Or I'm hoping for a particular sex, and you were born the opposite sex. They did the test and found out that you were a girl and they wanted a boy, and it was spoken in the atmosphere, I don't want a girl. And so you were rejected in the womb. The mother tells the father, I'm pregnant, and he, like, I don't want any children. I'm not staying here with you. And they weren't married in the first place, and so he goes off. So he's rejected you. And so rejection, you know, starts in the womb. It can start in the womb. I even believe, because of the fact that it is a spirit, that when you have a couple that is together, whether they're married or cohabitating, either way, and one wants a child and one doesn't want a child, and the woman is not pregnant, but there's a wanting of a child by one and a not wanting of a child by the other, that is still a form of rejection. Even before you are conceived, there is rejection there. And I'm telling you, that is amazing, you know, that a spirit can get to us before we are ordained, before we are created, you know, to be here. That spirit is so strong and so rampant. It is amazing, amazing, amazing. If we want to be all that God has created us to be, we must overcome rejection. We must overcome rejection. And many people have faced rejection and abuse, you know, as a child, and they grow up with unresolved emotional wounds. And these wounds will grow and fester into spiritual wounds. Unforgiveness, envy, blaming God, jealousy, the bitterness, and all of the armor that goes along with the bitterness and so forth. And so then these spiritual wounds open us up to other evil spirits, which love to take advantage of the opportunity to invade us, you know, because we're open wide now, so we can receive so many spirits because of the rejection, because of the things that emotionally have messed us up. And so we open ourselves open wide to receive so many things. Rejection has a lot of fruit, which can widely vary from one person to another. And so I want to just share with you some of the common symptoms of rejection. So rebellion in both children and adults, rebellion. And we know that, you know, when we see people that have a rebellious spirit, they have been rejected, feel that they're going to be rejected, and therefore they will rebel against that which you're putting up for them in order for them to protect themselves, in order for them to protect themselves. You have fabricated personalities, being somebody you aren't in order to be accepted. Now, this is an interesting one. Let's say that you attend a prestigious school. Somehow your parents were able to get you into this prestigious school. Mother and father, you know, did everything they could, you know, financially to get you there. You did the good grades, you know, so you had the right to be there. But on the surface, and it looks like you fit in through all categories. You're intelligent, you're beautiful, it looks like your family is wealthy and so forth. And little do your friends know, you know, that you're living in a trailer. Your mother and father got to work four jobs in order to pay for your tuition in school. That the beautiful clothes that you wear, they're thrift store clothes, but you do everything to make it look like you are part of that crew, and you do it so that you can be accepted. You do it so that you can fit in. You want them to accept you. And then somebody finds out one day that you're not all you pretend to be. And then they tell somebody, and the word spreads around the school, and you are devastated now. You are devastated. You're rejected by the girls group that you hung out with. These were the prissy girls, you know, and bougie and so forth and so on, because you were able to fake it enough to fit into the group. But now you can't fit in. So you have fabricated these personalities, you know, to make it look like you can. And I believe that when we deal with the mental illness of schizophrenia, we know that these are people dealing with different personalities, multiple personalities, and some of that could start through this type of fabrication, pretending to be somebody that you're not. And when you have the mental illness of schizophrenia, you have personalities that will form in order to protect. Normally the person, the real person, different personalities are formed to protect that person. And another personality will be formed to protect party number two and so forth and so on. So this is really that spirit of rejection is really, really a serious spirit when we are dealing with it. People that are rejected have a tendency to reject others so that they aren't the first one to be rejected. You know, you can look at movies and looking at the movies, you have a couple that's dating each other in love or whatever the case may be, and somebody tells one of them a story and say that, you know, Bob is going to break up with you, or Bob was with somebody else, and they don't realize the woman that they saw Bob with was Bob's cousin from out of town, but you go and tell your girlfriend that you saw her boyfriend with another woman, and they were laughing and having a good time, yada, yada, yada. And before you get to Bob, somebody tells Bob that you're going to break up with him because he was with somebody So he comes to you, you're going to him, and one of you is trying to break up with the other one first before the other person can break up with you. And so you reject people, you reject things and so forth. You reject it first so that you don't get rejected. It's a way of protecting yourself, a way of protecting yourself. So the woman that was lied to goes to break up with Bob because she believes Bob is going to break up with her because he had another woman, and that was his cousin from out of town. Craziness, but this kind of stuff happens. This kind of stuff happens. The need to fit in and be accepted by others and be a part of everything. This self-pity where a person feels bad for themselves being all alone. Oh, I hear this all the time. The inability to be corrected or receive constructive criticism, I deal with that a lot. Rejection creates an environment where you are starved for love or you just don't fit in. These things that I tell you, that these are symptoms of rejection, I deal with a lot of these things and dealing with counseling with everyday folks. And not only just everyday folks, everyday, saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit folks, okay, that they are feeling these feelings after we get to know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And every single one of these things, and I hear the whole list of more here, the tendency to, you know, why did he give me a big nose? Why did he make me short? You know, why did he make me extra thin, tall, and lean? I'm a girl. I don't want to be 6 feet tall. You know, why did he make me so tall and so forth and so on? You know, that all of these things, you know, being rejected. And again, like I said, these are things. Well, yeah, you just heard Minister Kabika when she said that she is saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Spirit and dealt with, you know, the issue with father and mother. And still she's in her 40s or about to be 40s and still dealing with something that happened at the age of 19 and so forth. And the forgiveness piece is what's there. And what I'm trying to say is that saved people still have these issues. We still have these spirits that we're dealing with and contending with. And so don't think that because you've accepted Jesus as your Lord and Savior that you will not deal with these things. You will deal with them until you do the proper thing as far as forgiving, and receiving the love of God yourself. You know, we stay in this place because we haven't truly received God's love to the extent where none of this matters. None of it matters because I've got Jesus. It's a rough place to be. It's a rough place to be, but it is a place that we can be. We can be. Well, beloved, do you have anything to say? And but before you answer that, let me say, folks, this is Heart to Heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. This is Apostle Etta Banks, along with co-host Tabika Garnes. Praise be unto God. And just like I just asked her, if she has something that she'd like to say, if any of you would like to chime in, please don't hesitate to press 1 on your keypad. We are here to share conversations. We want you to talk with us so that we can get to the heart of the matter. God bless. Go ahead, beloved.
Amen. So a lot of these examples that they give as a that deal with the spirit of rejection, I can tell you that they're on point with these things, spirit of rejection personally. And again, it still it stems from the relationship with my dad. When my sister and I were younger in elementary school, he would come to the, like, he would be at the school every day. He had a basketball team that he was a coach for. So he was always at the school, and it created a sense of protection for me, knowing that my dad was at the school, I felt protected. I felt like nobody could mess with me. People knew my father, so it was like nobody really messed with me and my sister. But at that same school, I was being teased, you know, for my skin color, you know, and my lips, like physical things I was being teased for, but my father never knew that. And so when I got to middle school, because my sister was still at the same elementary school, but when I got to middle school, all of that changed. Like, my father wasn't at the school time like he was at elementary school. And so I felt open at this middle school. I felt like I wasn't protected anymore. I felt like, you know, where's my dad? Why is he not here anymore? So that created the spirit of rejection, because now I felt rejected. And then the things that came up, you know, that basically were exposed that were going on in my parents' marriage. And when I say exposed, my mother did not tell my sister and I what was going on. We saw it for ourselves. So my mother was not the type that sat and told her daughters what my father was doing. What happened was we seen it for ourselves. We seen it with our own eyes. And so because we didn't understand it, that created, you know, a spirit of rejection. And so these things that are the examples that she's sharing, I've dealt with them. And I told Apostle before, and it's like, you know, I know that I have issues, somebody else's issues. So things mm-hmm. like, say, people are getting together to do something. That, you know, they're asking, hey, you want to go this place? You want to go out to eat? You want to go this place? And, you know, I can hear the conversation, but nobody asked me to join in. And that hurts, but I don't lash out at the situation, like, you know, because I know that's my issue. I know that that's my issue. Feeling left out is one of the issues that stem from rejection. So I just don't say anything. I don't make that somebody else's issue. It's almost like, okay, they didn't invite you. Move on, you know, move on. Because if you stand there and you unleash your wrath, now you're being looked at like, you know, you're crazy and nobody wants to deal with you. So I just deal with it the way that I know how to deal with it, which at times may not be healthy, because when you don't talk about these things, again, it does something to your heart when you don't talk about these things. So even if you don't talk to the individuals, talk to God about it. You have to open your mouth and let these things go, because when you hold it in, it can mess with your health. It can mess with your mind. It can cause you to think that things are going on that are really not going on. It'll cause you to think that people are talking about you and they're really not talking about you. So you have to just be careful and be mindful of these things when they come up, because they do happen when it comes to a spirit of rejection. What was that one up here that said? It was one that said a tendency to always wonder if a person rejects or accepts you. You know, you meet somebody and you're like, they like me or do they not like me? You know, and it's like you may text somebody and they don't respond right away, or they don't respond for 24 hours, and you're sitting there like, did I do something to this person? Why won't they respond to me? You know, that type of stuff comes from rejection, mm-hmm. and it will eat you alive. It will eat you alive. It will cause mental health issues to arise. Yes, mental health issues are chemically imbalanced. It could be generational, but sometimes things like this will cause mental health issues to arise. Because it's dealing with your mind. It's playing mind games. And when you don't deal with that stuff, it turns into other stuff. It turns into making you think that things are happening that are really not happening. So you just got to be careful. You have to talk about it. Don't let the enemy tell you that nobody will understand, or people are going to think that you're crazy. you know, they're not gonna love you anymore, they're not gonna receive you anymore. Don't believe any of that stuff. It's just to keep you in that place where he wants you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise be unto God. Praise be unto God. I tell you, it's amazing that all of these things, you know, dealing with the rejection and the bitterness and all of the other spirits that are attached to it, and the way we respond to all of these things, yes, these things are prevalent, but, hallelujah, but, greater is he that is within me than he that is in this world. Greater, greater, greater. The Spirit of God lives within us, hallelujah. We are overcomers, praise God, by the testimony of our life, of our word. We are overcomers. We have the ability to be healed, all of these things, you know, because of the Holy Spirit, because of what Jesus did at the cross. We don't have to remain this way. We were created to be loved, to be accepted, to be appreciation, and appreciated, and rejection is an antichrist spirit because it comes against the very nature of God. God is love. He created us in love. And love definitely does conquer all of these things. And rejection starves a person from love and acceptance. It starves us. And there are Christians that, you know, that are walking around that are starved from loving and being loved. And the one who is love is the one who created them, is the one who created them, created us. He is love. And so, therefore, we have everything that we need within us in order for us to be delivered from these things. And some of these things we can get deliverance through self-deliverance. Others are things we're going to have to get the help of someone to do the deliverance, and part of it is for us to even acknowledge that there is a need for deliverance. And so we have to acknowledge this. We have to don't be afraid to get counseling. Like Tabika said, you know, don't be afraid to ask for help. Ask for help so that we can get delivered, so that we can acknowledge, okay, letting someone else in love point out, you know, the things that we're dealing with and acknowledge those things and get the necessary help. Don't be afraid to go to psychologists and psychiatrists. And I speak of those that are saved, okay? I'm all for Christian counseling. Even when we have to take medication for mental disorders, for depression and so forth, I'd rather you be with a Christian counselor that's going to give you the word of God to know that these things that are wrong are that they are wrong in the natural, you know, physically that they're wrong, and spiritually there's something that's wrong, that both things can be addressed, that both things can be addressed. And because when you're dealing with an unsaved person who does not connect the spirit with the natural, they will deal with you just in the natural manner, not realizing that a spirit is also at work. So that's why I definitely advocate that you deal with a Christian counselor. And hear me when I say this, please. There are some people under the pretense of being Christian counselors, but yet they are really counselors that are spiritualists, okay? They believe, you know, they'll say that they're Christian counselors and they still deal with tarot cards or some form of witchcraft, but they still call themselves Christian. But they're dealing with witchcraft, and they are licensed and certified doctors, psychiatrists and psychologists. So, again, you have to be very, very careful. You have to be very careful because you can get mixed up in something that you really don't want to be. So, again, as Minister Tabika said, you know, you start with someone you trust. Start with someone you trust and then go on from there. Ask other Christians who may have gone to psychologists and or psychiatrists and aware of this. Ask them, you know, would they recommend certain people and so forth. So, you know, so do your due diligence when you are seeking help. Do your due diligence. So please, I can't encourage you enough that every spirit that we're dealing with that is not of the Holy Spirit, we can be delivered of. We can be delivered of. So I just want to encourage. Go ahead, love.
Sorry to interrupt you. We do have a caller that wishes to speak. Your last four digits are 6184. Good morning.
Good morning. this is Joyce, Tamika's mother, Joyce. And I just wanted to be a spirit of encouragement because this spiritual warfare that we're going through have been, we've gone through it from generation to generation to generation. So it's such a generational curse that's upon us. And I see Abba pulling the cover off of everything and giving us the voice. And I pray for ears to hear and a heart to receive and information like what you're given to go out to the masses of people, because people who need this alienate themselves, feel like they're all alone. But all over our television now, God is just pulling the veil off of everything. And women, especially because we're such emotional beings, we take everything to heart. We give birth. We give life to everything, including the things that go on in the spiritual warfare. Again, Apostle, you have referred us to the bait of Satan. You know, like Sister Tabika was saying, when someone wants to leave you out, Satan makes sure you're right within earshot of it. Right there so you hear it. Okay? That there is some spiritual warfare at its best. So anyway, that's all. I don't want to say a bunch. I've been through a lot of it. Trust me, I've been through a lot of what you're talking about, and it is a process. It's an ongoing process. And when you forgive that daddy, you might have to forgive him 707 times. But
come
keep
on.
Doing it. If it raises up, if it rears its ugly head up and tries to choke you, say, I forgive him in Jesus' name, regardless of how I feel. If 15 minutes, it jumps up again, because that's how the adversary will do. He wants to kill, steal, and destroy you by all means, as many times as necessary. And he knows you, and he knows your resilience or your weakness, and he will keep on and on and on and on and on. That's all. Thank you.
Amen. Thank you.
Amen. I love how you give all of that powerful speech. That's all. Thank you. I love it. Joyce, thank you so much for chiming in. Praise be unto God. Thank you so very, very much.
You're welcome.
Yes. Amen. God bless. Saints, you see, that's what I'm talking about, you know, that how important it is for you to share your part in this, you know, because, again, it's heart to heart. And if we don't have you speaking back to us, it's only our heart. So I encourage you always, you know, that if you have something to share, you press 1 on your keypad and come forth and share. What you have to say certainly may help somebody else. And what you have to say may cause others to pray for you. So it's all about being heart to heart, where we get to the heart of the matter. Beloved, our time is up. Praise be unto God. Our time is up. I challenge you to share with your friends, relatives, and so forth about heart to heart, and have them come and join us on Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. from 9 until 10 o'clock. Call your friends, call your family members. We want to do everything to get the word out that you are being blessed by this and you believe that they too will be blessed. So as always, it's been a pleasure being with you today. Minister Tabika, it's awesome to have you back with us today. I love you. more than
Amen.
You have.
I love you too. Amen.
Thank you. Amen. Thank you. God bless all of you. Have an awesome, awesome day in the Lord. And remember, if you don't have a home church to go to, you know where you can come. To New Vision for Life Church. Look at our website, www.newvisionforlife.com, and get the address and come and join us in the mornings. Truly, you will find that God is there. The very one that we're talking about today, he's there with us on Sundays as well. Take care. Be blessed. I love you.
Thank you for listening to Heart with Bishop Etta Banks. Heart to Heart is an outreach ministry of New Vision for Life Kingdom Builders. Please visit our ministry website at www.newvisionforlife.com. As always, beloved, I pray that God will bless you and bless you mightily. And as he does, you will turn around and bless someone else. And then that person will turn around and bless someone. Then that person will turn around and bless God Almighty for the blessings that he bestowed upon them. And then God, in his awesome and infinite wisdom, will turn around and bless you one more time because you knew what to do with the blessings he bestowed upon you. I thank God for the completion of the circle of blessings. I beseech you, therefore, in the name of Jesus, that you go forth today and be a blessing to someone. And when you do, do so on purpose. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.